Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl in college football Hall of Famer and fresh off of the Peloton, the one and only Tony Casillas. TC, happy Thursday.
You're right. I cannot lie. Happy Thursday to you. And I'm sitting here dripping, sweating because I know we scheduled to do our podcast. But the real story was this morning when I woke up real early this morning, RJ. And let me tell you what happened. So last night we're talking, first of all, I spent a lot of time playing Gin Rummy. I never played that before, but that's what we're doing. So very competitive game here at the Casillas family when you got all of us under one roof. So my wife says, hey, tomorrow morning you need to get up at 7 o'clock. A store is opening up and they guarantee they'll have toilet paper and paper towels. I said, done. Because, we're getting low on those things. So I get up like at 5:30 because I couldn't sleep. So I come out in the family room and I get on the couch and I fall asleep. And I was supposed to be there at 7, try to get there at 15 till about 6:45 because it's probably going to be in line because everyone needs toilet paper and paper towels because there's none of that right now. So I fall asleep and all of a sudden my wife says, Tony. I'm like, I wake up. I'm like, what? Because you're supposed to go to the store at 7 a.m. And I said, oh, shit. And so I never need alarm clock. I have this built-in alarm clock will wake up. So I got up, I got in my car, I went to Walmart, the first store, and sold out. So I go to this other store, to Kroger, and they had what I needed. But I guess the moral of the story is that was some of the best sleep I've ever gotten because although I missed the wake-up call to go get the toilet paper and paper towels, I was able to go to the secondary choice, and it was worth it because that's some of the best sleep I've ever had, RJ.
Wow. Okay. You hit a lot of things that I want to discuss.
And that's what I usually do. I don't set it up. You know me. I just come out raffling and I have my coffee and everything. So, yeah.
So the first thing is you said you fell asleep. I've never found somebody that agrees with me on this. This coming Saturday, right? We have nothing to watch in terms of sports. Mm-hmm. So like the wife and I will watch a bunch of movies, right? Even if I'm laying on the couch, I'm under a blanket, I'm nice and comfortable, I never just like fall asleep. You know what I mean? Like at some point I have to make a conscious decision, like, okay, I'm gonna take a nap. Like, you know what I mean? Like I never just slip into sleep. Are you saying that's what happened to you?
Well, no. So I have no problem going to sleep at night. Let me back up. I mean, I can go to sleep in 5 seconds and that drives my wife and people crazy. I mean,
that's how my dad is. It's like a damn decision.
Well, maybe it's a dad thing. Whatever. It's like, okay, I will. I'm going to sleep and I'm out. But what I do is I wake up about 5:30 because I get up early and I start thinking of things. So I'll get up and I'll come out on the couch and watch TV or whatever. Now it's just all this unlimited news about, COVID-19, coronavirus, and just kind of get all the updates. So I never fall asleep and I didn't really want to wake up. I just fell asleep. But it's like you got to make your conscious decision that I'm going to go back to sleep. Well, it never happens. So, I mean, I went into a deep sleep. I didn't hear anything around me. Someone woke me up in a dead sleep and it was great. That 45 minutes of sleep was probably the best sleep I ever had. The best thing about it is though I didn't miss the toilet paper and the paper towels. I was able to get those rationings.
Right. So that was my next question. I have not gone out and fought a grocery store yet. We've been fortunate, and we had some things prepared, and not in a hoarding sense, you know, just we'd planned mm-hmm. and prepared and whatnot. So what was it like? Because I think there are some people that haven't gone to a grocery store yet. Like, was it one we're seeing like all over the news, they're only letting like 10 people in at a time? Was it kind of like that, or how was it?
Well, I think it's gotten better because that ultimatum, like, respect other people and, you know, just get, don't buy, you know, 100 cases of toilet paper. Just buy what you need for your household. So right. It's gotten better. There's actually quite a bit of that on the shelf. And I was surprised because, you know, the store I went to was supposed to open up at 7 a.m. And I think it, you know, I got there at about 7:45, but it had been open for a while. So actually, it wasn't that late. It's 7:30. But anyway, I was surprised that there was. I think people are really, you know, taking notice of that and not trying to hoard everything because everybody else needs it. And I think they understand what's going on in our country. So it's not that bad. I think just my advice is just get up early and don't oversleep.
That's a good point. You know, good advice. And that's so I normally work from home, right? I've said that, you know, a few times and stuff. And so I've gotten some questions from people like, hey, dude, you know, I'm kind of new at this. You know, what advice do you have? And my advice is generally you have to set a routine. You know what I mean? Because it gets really easy to say, I'll just sleep in 30 more minutes. You know, all I got to do is go downstairs. You know what I mean? I don't got to do anything. And it also gets really easy if you're working at like 11:45 to just say, oh, I'll just work on this. And then all of a sudden you blink and it's 2 o'clock and you didn't eat lunch. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
you have to really kind of set yourself some guidelines to keep some normalcy. I've said this before. I'm interested and kind of inspired by how creative the world is getting, you know, to kind of power through and help each other. You know, the stories you see are really, you know, inspiring in some capacities. Obviously, these are troubling times. So something that so many people and specifically athletes have been focused on is the Peloton. That was the other thing I wanted to hit. So I saw that Justin Thomas and Bubba Watson are going to be competing against each other on Friday in a Peloton class. You're going to join that?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. I just have to find out. I don't know what their power numbers are. I did see Rory's numbers and they're pretty off the chart, but, you know, I just, you know, if they feel good about an old man beating up on them, by all means, I will join them. And, you know, and that's the thing, the creativity and what's good about us and, you know, the other people that work at home is that if you're in a office setting and you're used to going and have a routine every day, all of a sudden you're asked to do it at home. And there's a lot of distractions at home if you're not used to working out from home.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that if you're used to it and you got a routine that you work, you know, whatever you do in the morning and you get on calls or whatever that may be, it's hard. But when you're used to going to the office every day and driving and you have a routine and all of a sudden you're at home and got your family, you got other things going on. I mean, it's kind of hard to keep your head down. So yeah, the Peloton has given obviously an outlet for exercise or any other right. on-demand exercise and I've noticed this, I'm sure you have too also. How many people are outside now? I mean, I've never seen so many people walking and doing stuff right. and interacting outside. And so maybe that's a blessing in disguise. Cause I mean, sometimes we don't take advantage of that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to see people outside socializing.
It does feel like in many ways, we as a society have had a hard reset with things like going outside and understanding the things that we do have available to us. So hopefully we're all more grateful for different things moving forward and once all this passes. So my job is to steer this back to the Cowboys, and so watch how I do this. Ready? So on Wednesday night, I sat down after my wife and dog had gone to sleep, and I was going to watch something. Have you ever watched, I got to send it to you, this show Tour Sauce from the No Laying Up guys? It's an awesome golf show. So that's a way different topic, but I was going to watch this. And
yeah, you're steering it right back to the Cowboys. Yeah,
sorry,
I love that.
And,
I like how you did that.
I saw Amari Cooper went live on Instagram. He like jumped on Instagram live. So Amari is talking about how he just did a Peloton workout, whatever, and people are asking him a bunch of different questions. People are asking him, if he's going outside, and he said he's going house shopping every couple of days. That's the only time he leaves his house because, I mean, again, this dude just got $100 million, so it makes sense to go get a new crib. And so he said that's the only reason he's going outside. He was answering a bunch of questions. Somebody asked him if Dak is going to play this season, and he handled everything really well. He was like, I don't know, you got to ask Dak. I mean, he was really chill. And somebody asked him, how many touchdowns are you going for this year? And he said 15. And somebody asked him, how many yards do you want to go for? And he said 2,000. And I know that every year you see this headline, so-and-so wants to rush for 2,000 yards, whatever. And I mean, you're supposed to have big goals, but we know, at least, according to what he said on Instagram Live, and I think he deleted the video because he said he didn't want anybody to do what I'm doing right now and like repurpose his words. But again, he's got some big goals. That's a good thing. 2,000 yards is hard for any receiver to hit, obviously, but I understand it being a goal. 15 touchdowns, though, I think that's possible, mm-hmm. but he has never come that close in his career. I want you to guess what the highest amount of touchdowns he's ever caught in a single season. Hey guys, RJ here. Tony and I will be back in just a second, but before we are going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Let's get to it. Here is the 750.
Gosh, I'm going to five, or I think maybe six in between 5 and 10. I think I'm going to say five.
Okay, so five is actually the fewest amount he's ever had in a single season. 2016 was his worst year from a touchdown standpoint. He had five then, but last season was his best performance. Obviously, he had a great year with the Cowboys. The career high in terms of yards and touchdowns. He had 8 touchdowns last year. So, I mean, you're talking 15. Obviously, it's almost one a game. That's some mm-hmm. like Dez level touchdown production. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, especially if he's the number one receiver, and I don't think other defensive secondaries, the coordinator is going to let Amari Cooper just run wild. So I think he aim for the sky, and you set your goals high. 2,000 yards. I mean, that's really Megatron. I mean, that's statistics that. That's like 2,000 yards rushing for a running back. It can mm-hmm. be done, but under just really good, perfect, I would say, circumstances. I think maybe the catches, maybe 15. I could probably see him maybe, I don't know. That's a tough ceiling right there.
So if you're curious, again, Dez's strength with the Cowboys was he was that red zone monster. Dez only had 16 touchdowns, or he had 16 touchdowns in 2014. That was the only year he ever had at least 15. So he never had at least 15 in any other season. You mentioned Calvin Johnson. He only had at least 15 once also. In 2011, Megatron caught 16 touchdowns, just like Dez 3 years later. So, I mean, it's hard. I mean, even Calvin Johnson only hit 15 at least once. If Amari were to hit that, and again, nobody's saying it's ridiculous or stupid or anything. I mean, he's supposed to have big goals. That's a hard number to hit. I mean, again, and especially on a team that's going to run the ball. I mean, it's really, really, really tough. But, I mean, I don't know. But Amari, my point was, he's on the Peloton just like you. Look at that. Two Cowboys.
Well, my advice to him, if he puts up those numbers, 15 touchdowns, 2,000 yards, he needs to go back and renegotiate.
If that's a great point. If Amari hits, if he hits
2,000 yards and 16 touchdowns, dude, you should have waited another year.
That's a great point. So on the subject of renegotiating and contracts and whatnot, we're talking on Thursday before lunchtime. Wednesday afternoonish evening and into Thursday, it started getting reported by all the different outlets that the Cowboys and Dak, the report is basically the Cowboys and Dak Prescott are talking again. So I guess that's good news. I mean, especially considering at one point they went at least 6 months, you know, without talking to each other about a deal.
You think they're Skyping right now? You think they're sending FaceTime and Jerry? You see Jerry and Steven, you know, doing a little FaceTime, Bitmojis. How you doing? LOL. And it'd be an interesting conversation with their agent and that whole Skype landscape that we have to use right now.
Well, I'm interested because, you know, of on this show, there is somebody who has negotiated, you know, football contracts worth a large amount of money. It's not me. So what would that be like? I mean, I know that you didn't do your deals and everything in your career in a day and age where you could Skype or anything like that. But I mean, did you ever, whether it was you or your agent, have anything over the phone? I mean, you know, try to put yourself in that situation as best you can. I mean, what would it be like, I guess?
I think it really hasn't changed. I mean, you don't really do a whole lot of like personal negotiating until you actually get right down to it. And I think most, and I was just having, you know, fun with that because I think most conversations are, you know, now are done through the phone or, you know, emails or whatever the way electronically you want to communicate. But I just thought, you know, with Skype, it makes it a little bit more personable, you know, where you can get on, you can see the guy's face, you know, whatever, you have four or five guys in a room and it, just another way of communicating. But ultimately, I don't think it really changes. It's changed a whole lot. Because I think it's done through, you know, text messaging now and really just getting on the phone. Hey, you know, let's do a call at 12 o'clock and let's hammer this deal out. You know, how far are we away? And then, you know, once you get closer, then you know, now you can't, with the social distancing and everything that they have, I mean, you really can't do anything, right? Supposedly. So I think it makes it easier and maybe easier for the player negotiating because, you know, now the way it's done and free agency and everything is based off if you pass a physical because, you know, you can't do your physical. I've seen other language and contracts that are done like that, but I don't think it changed in RJ. I mean, it's a phone call away or whatever. And let's hammer a deal out.
Yeah. I think that people think that, you know, the Cowboys and whether it's Jerry and Steven or whoever and Dak's representation, I think people legitimately believe they're like in a room, you know what I mean? Like a conference room and they're like, you know, arguing, you know, almost coming to blows, you know what I mean? Like, and just like screaming at each other. But so here is, as I understand it from all the reports, here's the sort of hang up here. Here's the problem. Dak Prescott's team, according to multiple reports, seemingly prefers a shorter contract. And from a time perspective, wants a 4-year deal. The Cowboys seemingly want a 5-year deal. Now, the question is, what's the difference? So a lot of, you know, contract negotiations are about what's the market? How much are other guys at the position getting paid? Whatever. Well, obviously, Dak is very equatable to Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, drafted in the same year as them. Now, they both, Tony, got 4-year extensions with their teams. And the reason that's important is because Carson Wentz and Jared Goff are both currently in 2020 on the 5th year of their rookie contracts. Dak Prescott's rookie contract did not have a 5th-year option like the other two because he wasn't a first-round pick. So Jared Goff and Carson Wentz's extensions don't actually begin until next year, whereas whatever deal Dak ultimately signs will begin this year. So if Dak were to get a 4-year deal, just like Goff and just like Wentz, he would become a free agent 1 year ahead of them. The Cowboys obviously don't want that because then they'll have to pay him that much sooner. And obviously paying a quarterback is a very expensive proposition. So they want to lock him down for 5 years. But if you're Dak Prescott, you're probably thinking, why would I give up that extra year? I mean, there's no point to it. Why would I forfeit getting paid a year sooner when I could get paid a year before everybody else and reset the market and, you know, buy another house or buy whatever you want to buy, invest it, do whatever. But so that's where I understand the difference to be. And I don't see how the Cowboys have any leverage here. I mean, again, the deals that Goff and Wentz got and the way Dak has played, I mean, literally everything is working in Dak's favor. The Cowboys are going to have to bend the knee here. I don't know if you agree or not.
Well, I think the Cowboys are going to, they're going to have to continue to either franchise him or take the risk of, you know, every year. And I think, well, Dak takes the risk of every year because, you know, I think the way they protect themselves, they look at it like, you know, he wants a 5-year deal. We're only paying 4 years. You know, we're looking at the cap and we're allocating money to sign, you know, to put money on top of Dak Prescott. And I think he deserves to get paid. I think the parameters are $35 million, but I think the 5 years because he wants more money guaranteed, and that extends it more. But I think ultimately, I think I understand the whole philosophy of this with the Dallas. You know, is the franchise chat? Excuse me, the franchise tag is their best friend, because if they, you know, guaranteeing $35 million this year, then that's another year that Dak Prescott doesn't have anything guaranteed. So, I mean, but worst case scenario for him is he goes out, he's guaranteeing $35 million. He goes out and blows out his knee. And then he has no leverage whatsoever. So I think the only leverage the Cowboys has is putting a franchise tag. And yeah, hopefully getting something, a deal done where it's not going to cost them more money. Because let's say they franchise him and he goes out and he puts up these numbers, then you get that other year. Then you have to extend yourself out. And then you're kind of back where you started. There's that 4 years, if that makes sense.
I know you're not saying this exactly, but I don't think that, God forbid, if Dak were to get hurt in 2020 while playing on the tag, I don't think he would lose. I mean, he would definitely lose some leverage, like some percentage of leverage, but I don't think that he would go from 100% to like 5%.
You know, yeah, I mean? I agree. Cause look at Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was injured and they came out and said, look, we're going to pay him the money, because they knew they had to pay him or someone else. Okay. Right. It makes sense.
And so I don't understand why the Cowboys remain stingy here. I mean, there's no logic to it, you know? And so, I mean, if they want to keep, you know, going round and round in circles, my point is, this all ends, whether you are Team Dak or Team Not Dak, this all ends one way. And it has ended this way for as long as the NFL has existed. The quarterback gets paid. I mean, that's just it. That's the way it works. And the sooner you can accept that, the sooner we can all sort of have peace about it. You know what I mean? Hey, everyone. Going to get you back to the 750 in just a second. But before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Welcome back, everybody. Let's finish strong. Here is the 750.
Yeah, and I think the more you look around the National Football League, and I think people that are fans and people that look at other teams and these guys are getting these crazy contracts. And, you know, I think, you know, Dak, I said this on our last show, is that he's over the novelty of like, yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm playing in the National Football League. I didn't get drafted until later in the later drafts. And so I feel good about being here. You know, now I've done all that. I've proved myself. Now it's time for me to step up and bank out, you know? So I think he's at a point where people are like, look, now it's a business for Dak Prescott. It's like, this is the best opportunity he's going to have leverage wise. And he needs to, you know, play hardball. And I don't think anyone really, I think he's got everyone on his side, because now I think the Cowboys are going to look bad because they're like, okay, well, you need to sign Dak Prescott. I mean, let's get this deal done.
Sure. So last couple of things, Tony, just as we're recording, saw a tweet here from Drew Brees. It's been awesome to see how many athletes and people have donated in these you know, times that our world is in need. Drew Brees announced that he and his wife are committing $5 million to the state of Louisiana.
Wow.
Goodness gracious. That's a huge, I mean, Drew Brees has, you know, taken care of New Orleans from day one. I mean, you know, signing there in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. I mean, pretty awesome dude, Drew Brees.
Well, yeah, he is. He's the equivalent of J.J. Watt to, you know, to the New Orleans Saints. I mean, just a great ambassador. And if you've been watching Louisiana, it's been spreading quite a bit. So, I mean, dude, I mean, just think, $5 million, and look, the guy makes a ton of money. And but to really just the goodness of your heart to be able to donate to people that you know, your neighbors and friends and people that really dire needs, great for him, man. That's awesome.
For sure. And, you know, not to minimize any donation. Any donation, to your point, Tony, comes from the heart and is well-intentioned. But, you know, I mean, you're seeing $100,000 from so-and-so. And again, it's all incredible. $5 million, that's, as far as I've seen, that's the largest, you know, individual contribution. That's larger than a lot of teams and, you know, overall franchises have made across the world of sports. So, wow, way to go, Drew Brees. But so last couple things before we get out of here for the second time this week. When we were talking on Tuesday, we talked about the newest Cowboys defensive tackle, your boy, fellow Sooner, Gerald McCoy. Well, Gerald McCoy's boy is now a Cowboy. Dontari Poe, who's not a Sooner, but was a Panther with Gerald McCoy. So the Cowboys, Tony, got some beef. Look at that. Showing love to the defensive tackles. You pumped about this?
That's what was it, three? Deontay Poe, he weighs, what, about 350, and then you got Gerald McCoy, probably 305. I mean, they decided they're just going to get big, and, you know, they went out and got two really viable free agents. And look, I think it's something to be excited about. You know, hopefully those guys will continue to play at a high level. But, yeah, to me, I think they just decided they looked around in the NFC East, and they thought, well, what do we need to do? And it's a different coach. You know, I think you're seeing more of a Mike Nolan stamp, Mike McCarthy stamp, if you will. And they decided, sure, hey, we need to get bigger at that position. You guys that, you know, teams that run the ball are guys that we need to really just get pressure, collapse the pocket. I mean, those are the two best guys on the market that they could have gotten.
Well, some people will say Ndamukong Suh, but I think you're right. I think that, you know, for what Mike Nolan seemingly wants to do, those guys make sense. And you mentioned the Mike McCarthy influence. You know, Mike McCarthy had B.J. Raji when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010. So it's very obvious that he's looking to kind of get back to those roots. The other signing that the Cowboys have had, they have five external free agents, at least at the time that you and I are talking. Obviously, news can break any moment. But of the five guys, Tony, two of them are Sooners. Look at that. You got Gerald McCoy and the Belldozer, Blake Bell. Are you pumped?
Well, yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, discard that or not, you know, give, you know, him any respect, but I didn't realize Blake was still in the league. Was in Kansas City last year. And look, I missed that. I know he had about seven catches last year, but I missed that. I missed that. But, hey, look, I think that they, you know, they need depth. He's a big dude. I mean, we know that he's a converted quarterback and a tight end in the National Football League. So I'm excited. You never can have too many Sooners.
I didn't
see him go out and draft CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, seriously. So something interesting that I saw and we've mentioned a few times, but I don't know how much merit this has, but again, I'm curious for, you know, the take of someone who's been there. Jim Tomsula is the Cowboys' new defensive line coach, and he's probably pretty pumped because he's got Joe McCoy and Dontari Poe.
Great
Jim
coach, too, by the way.
For sure. Jim Tomsula was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers for 1 year, and it was in 2015. It was the 2015 Niners that drafted Blake Bell. So, I mean, I don't know how much of an influence Tomsula is for Blake Bell, but I'm curious for you, for someone who's been there, I mean, would that sway you? I mean, you know, like for if you're in the NFL and you're looking for a new home, I mean, how important is that, I guess?
Well, I think it helps that, you know, you have a relationship and you know the guy. I mean, we talked about, you know, the draft coming up and, you know, the guys that couldn't go to the pro days. I mean, you know, personally, you know their personalities, right? So I think there's some familiarity that goes along with that and some history. And you say, look, this Blake Bell, he's a good dude. I mean, he's a good person, but the guy can play. And so I think if you look around you, it's like any, you know, any team or any business you have, you know the person, and like you know his history, then I think you're more prone and you know to establish a relationship. So yeah, I think you can connect the dots like that. I mean, that happens a lot.
So two Sooners, good times. And obviously free agency is kind of slowing down. We'll see if the Cowboys bring in anything else. We'll be back next week to kind of get back into it all after another weekend of quarantine. You got any plans at the Casillas compound this weekend? Any movies that you're planning on watching? Any more Jim Rummy? I mean, what's going on this weekend at your house?
Well, no Jim Rummy tonight. My wife's actually going to drive to Austin and sit with my son and his girlfriend and their little pug. So I think we're all kind of getting kind of tired of eating a little stir crazy around one another, need a little break. So that's social distancing and go see him in Austin. And, you know, believe it or not, the golf courses are still open here in the Dallas area, the Cowboys Golf Club, which I got to give them a plug. They've done an outstanding job of making, you know, and you see my posts of, you know, going by whatever regulations and rules at this time, but you know, it's an option for you to go play golf because it is outdoor recreation. So to answer your question, I'm going to try to play golf this afternoon and try to not to be as stir crazy as possible.
Well, sooner or later, we're going to do a 750 from the Cowboys Golf Club, and it's going to be good times.
Bet on it.
but yeah, well, enjoy the weekend.
You too, RJ.
Work on the short game, you know, whatever, you can get going. I think I'm going to finally break down and buy a driving range net for my backyard. Cause I just, you know, at this point, you know, I need it. You know what
you
I mean?
What, like, you don't need to do that. You just get you some of those wiffle balls, the balls that you can buy. And I know you want the compression of a real, you know, type Pro V1 or Titleist or TaylorMade, but you can actually get the little wiffle balls and you can actually hit them where they, you know, they don't break anything. They go through any windows. They don't kill anyone. So that's a thought also, RJ.
Okay. Well, you know, I've got time on my hands to figure out the best course of action. So,
or go on Tiger Woods and play a little PlayStation or Xbox. Are you an Xbox guy?
I'm a PS4 guy. And it's funny you bring that up. So I believe the last PGA Tour game that came out was actually Rory McIlroy's. You know, nowadays you can buy games like digitally, you know what I mean? You just download them and they don't have that game on the PS4 store. So I was thinking like, I'm going to have to order it like on eBay or something. But you know, I'll figure it out. I'll prevail. I'm not going to be stopped by this, but
well, anybody hoping yours, truly help you guys, find something to do and just, you know, like everyone else, just withstand it. Cause, we'll be better after all this has passed.
For sure. Okay. Well, everybody have a great weekend. Practice social distancing. Wash your hands. We'll be back early on next week. This was the 750.